Blog Talk Radio.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with thanksgiving, because it's really the only way we can come to you. And you said to us that we should give thanks to you in everything, because it's your will. And Lord, we pray that we might be finding ourselves right in the center of your will, that to see your will and your way fully accomplished, O God, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you would comfort the Martin family in their time of loss. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the healing work you're doing with George. We thank you, Lord, for the good report from Mark. And Lord, our hearts ought to always be overflowing, brimming over with thanks to you for all that you do in our lives, most of which we are not even aware. Lord, it's like we sometimes sing that song, "Have it not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be?" But because you're on our side, we're here and rejoicing in your goodness, rejoicing in the fact that you bring comfort to those who are bereaved. You bring healing to those who are ill. You bring freedom to those who are bound. You bring salvation to those who are lost. Lord Jesus, make us ever conscious of you, our good shepherd. You've got a rod and you've got a staff, and you have a purpose, and you care for us like no one has ever cared. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to draw our attention to you, not only here, but as we leave this place, as we will go throughout the days of this week, that our focus will be on Jesus. Amen. So, Debbie gave us some scriptures to memorize, Psalm 23. I think probably most of us have it memorized in one form or another. So it's a good review. And I ask that we could memorize as well those few verses in Luke chapter 4 relating to Jesus that I want to read here once again. Verse 18 and 19, Luke chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to those that are blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." We sang about that year this morning, didn't we? This is the year that the Lord may appear. And whether we see him coming in his second coming, we know he's going to appear thousands of times in our own lives as he comes to us. I also want to read the scripture that Jesus is quoting, which is Isaiah 61, and it's the first couple verses of Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's how far Jesus read of that particular scripture. So that's the text that Jesus chose as his introductory message to identify himself. It was proclaimed in Nazareth, the place where he had grown up. And Jesus understood that this scripture was prophetically about himself. And so he makes this startling pronouncement to the people. Today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your ears. Well, as you read this whole section, you discover that for a few minutes, the people, it says, they marveled at the gracious lips that were falling, or the gracious words that were falling from his lips. They marveled at the gracious words that were falling from his lips. And then, very shortly, they turned against him and began to be critical. Basically, they're saying, who does he think he is? He grew up here. We knew him when he was a little boy. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. He's just a carpenter's kid. Where did he get all this? And so they set about to assassinate Jesus. So rather than receiving that which he was bringing to them, they sought to rid themselves of Jesus instead. That happened a lot in Jesus' life, didn't it? They liked what they heard, but when it got close to them, get rid of him. It wasn't even get rid of the message, get rid of him. And I wonder if it might still be that way in many areas. So on this second Sunday of the Lenten season, we look at the second of the blessings that Jesus came to perform. He sent me. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I mentioned last week that as you read your Bibles, some of you may notice that phrase is not there. Now, Bible translation sometimes is a tricky matter. Because sometimes there are not words that are equivalent. But this is not a situation where there are not equivalent words. So, just for information, that phrase is in the Isaiah passage that Jesus quoted. And it is also in the two oldest complete manuscripts of the Bible that we have today. And that is the ones that are called Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. They get that name because that's the libraries where they're stored. There is a complete copy of the Bible stored in the library in the Vatican and also at the Greek monastery in the Sinai desert. And these are the two oldest complete, I'm emphasizing complete, manuscripts that we have. And they date between 325 and 360 AD. These are the oldest complete manuscripts that exist. Now there are older scraps, we'll just call them, like pages that have been discovered. But those are the two oldest. And so those are the manuscripts on which the King James and the Geneva Bible, the New King James Bible in Basic English, Concordant New Testament are based on those. The newer translations that we now have, like American Standard, New American, ESV, the Douay, NIV, RSV, and so on, lean more heavily on another ancient manuscript, which is called the Alexandrinus. This is in the library in Alexandria. But this manuscript dates from about 420, 430. So it's almost 100 years newer. And generally, when Bibles are translated, if there is a difference, they generally go with the oldest, all right? Because if it was there way back when, and it's not here now, somehow the copyist may have missed a line. So you generally go with the oldest. And so we're going to go with the oldest. And it's certainly there in the Isaiah a passage. But don't throw your Bibles away or anything. Just so you know that those are the way Bibles are or anything is translated, actually, is usually the heaviest weight goes on the oldest. But, oh man, this wasn't supposed to be a history lesson, but beginning with what is now called form criticism, which was a means of studying the Bible begun back in the universities in Germany 100 years ago. They began to move away from oldest to what seems more culturally relevant. But I don't understand why brokenheartedness is not culturally relevant. Anyway, no more history, at least right now. So let's look at this scripture. It's here. If it's not in your particular version of the Bible, don't throw your Bibles away. You can write it on the side. In fact, many Bibles have a little note saying, included in some older manuscripts. So you know what I'm trying to say about, you know, there's a little bit of history. Oh, yeah, let's look at the verse itself. It says, He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This word sent is the same word from which we get a word like apostle. But it's unique in the sense that it doesn't mean just you sent a letter, but it includes in its meaning, you could translate it saying, He has sent me and here I am. All right? He has sent me and here I am. So the fact of being sent means you have arrived. And so that's what the good news is for us, isn't it? Jesus was not only sent hundreds of years ago, He is here. He was sent and He is here. He is abiding among us. He will never leave us. We've got all those promises, don't we? He not only was sent, but He is here. He is, and being sent means like you're on a mission. You're on a mission. There is an aim, there's an object, there's a purpose built into being sent. And Jesus is on that mission. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, heal. There are several words again for heal. The word here is the word that means to mend, to make whole. It's the word you would use if you dropped your favorite vase, if it's favorite, I suppose, and it broke into shatters, and you get out your super glue, and you glue it back together. That's this word heal, mending, putting back together. And Jesus said He will put together, He will heal and mend and make whole. And the word broken means to be shattered. To be shattered. And so Jesus is here to repair, to mend broken hearts into wholeness again. Now we have to look at brokenheartedness. What does that mean?